Welcome back to Goal Line Stuff, the show where we talk about anything and everything football related. I'm Alex Kirkchiev.
And I'm Michael San Antonio. And boy, do we have a show for you today. So last week, we went over our playoff predictions for the 2022 NFL season, and we were pretty spot on with most of our predictions. But we had the Washington Commanders in as the seventh seed for the NFC, and we also had the New York Jets in at the seventh seed in the AFC. And so we just, before we started this episode, we wanted to say that we were wrong with those two picks. We were right with everything else. And instead, the Seattle Seahawks are in the NFC and the Miami Dolphins made it in for the AFC. And so with that information and with, obviously you listened to our last week's episode, that's why you're here. So this week, we're going to kind of continue with the playoff talk. We're going to go over our rankings for all 14 teams in the playoffs. We're going to rank them from 14 all the way down to one, the best team in the playoffs. And we're going to kind of go in depth and talk about, the strengths and weaknesses of these teams and why we think they're going to do what they're going to do in the playoffs, why we predict them to lose or win or make the Super Bowl or not make the Super Bowl. And yeah, it should be a pretty low-key chill episode. I'm excited. How about you, Alex?
Oh, I'm always excited. You know me.
Always excited. And for those, I mean, I'm wearing a Kenny Galladay jersey right now. Some people, if you're just listening to this, you won't know, but Kenny Galladay made a huge catch last week, so I have to represent. Big catch by Kenny Galladay, number
Is
one
it
receiver,
time to
New York
start putting
Giants.
Kenny Galladay in the top 10 talks?
It's time to start talking Hall of Fame. Give him his gold jacket.
Oof, bold take. But I'm not sure I disagree with you.
He is a one-time Pro Bowler, so I mean,
That might be enough.
it is enough. It is enough. But anyway, we don't want to waste too much of your time. Let's start with these rankings. Do we each just want to go from 14 to 1? Alex, you think that's how we should do this? Okay. I'll start first. My last place team, the team that I ranked the lowest in the playoffs as of now, belongs to the AFC, and it is the Miami Dolphins. And just with this, I have them at 14, pretty much because Tua is not playing. Skylar Thompson stinks, 5.1 yards per attempt in the games he's played. He's a third string quarterback right now. As of now, he's the starter. I think Bridgewater's still not cleared to play. And so it just comes down to you have a third string quarterback playing for you. Even if Bridgewater plays, I still think they're one of the worst teams in the playoffs as of now. They've been wishy-washy. Their defense doesn't show up in some key games. With Tua, they put up a lot of points with Waddle and Hill. Their offense moved a lot, but you can't count on them winning a lot of games with, Skylar Thompson as their starter. And they're going against Buffalo the first week. I think they're going to get trounced in the wild card against Buffalo.
Yeah, you pretty much hit the nail on the head with that. Their defense is about middle of the pack. As far as playoff teams go, it's on the lower side, but still average. The entire strength of their team is their offense, led by Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and namely Tua. And once you take that strength away, because Skylar Thompson isn't throwing the passes that Tua is, your team kind of just stinks. Maybe not that far. No, I'd go that far.
I'm surprised they made the playoffs.
Well, no, all they had to beat was the Joe Flacco-led Jets.
They hardly beat the Jets.
Well,
Eleven to
that's why
six.
they're last place in our rankings.
Yeah, they scored 11 points last week. I mean, come on. Come on.
Nine
Yeah.
on offense.
Yes, nine on all. Yeah. I mean, it's just a tough look for them. And yeah, Miami hardly ever makes the playoffs. It's the first time, I think, since 2016.
Where they
And
also lost their starting quarterback. Tough break.
it's a rough scene. I think we both have them last. If Tua's here, they're a little bit higher for me, but
He was here, they're way higher for me.
yeah. I mean, they actually have a shot to beat Buffalo if Tua's playing, but he's
They
not.
did. They did beat Buffalo with Tua playing.
Yeah, but I'm saying in the playoffs, they
Yeah.
have a shot to beat Buffalo with Tua playing. And without him playing, I think there's really a 0% chance unless like Josh Allen goes down or something. I don't
Yeah,
even know.
I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, so we both have them at 14. Moving on at 13, I have the Seattle Seahawks. And with Seattle, just I think that they might be the weakest team in the playoffs right now. Like the Dolphins at full strength are better than the Seahawks. Just they're not at full strength. So I have the Seahawks at 13. Geno Smith has had a great year. The offense has operated pretty well without Russ around Geno Smith. He's actually passed more than Russ usually did. And Kenneth Walker has been great, great rookie, great rushing attack. They have a lot of good young players right now. I mean, that's the biggest thing going for them right now is their youth, at least the Seahawks for me. But that doesn't bode well in the playoffs when you have teams with a lot of veterans, a lot of great players who've been in the league for so long. Most notably, though, I mean, obviously their secondary is great. Quandre Diggs has been good for a while. Tariq Woolen has been one of the best, players defensively. I think he might be the best player this year for the Seahawks. He's been great. Great young player, bright future. They have a lot of draft picks. And but when it comes down to it, I mean, this team is they're winning some close games, but their defense isn't spectacular. It's good, it's not spectacular. And that goes the same with their offense. They have DK, they have Tyler Lockett. They're able to move the ball downfield, but against pretty much any of these other teams, they're going to have a lot of, trouble scoring and putting up the points that they need to win. And especially against the 49ers, I think this is just they have like a 5% chance to win this game. I don't like their odds against Kyle Shanahan and the Niners. And I don't think their offense, especially, is strong enough. I think their defense is passable, but their offense to me is probably one of the worst in the playoffs right now. So that's why I have them at 13.
I have very different takes about Seattle than you do. I don't have Seattle at 13. I have them at 12, but I think that my number 13 is the same as your 12. So we'll talk to, about them next. To me, Seattle's defense is terrible. Like, not e I'm not even calling it passable. It's terrible. They allow a bajillion rush yards per game, and that's the weakness of their team. Their offense has been actually pretty good with Geno. You've got your still good receivers. You've got Kenneth Walker there in the fold now. And Geno has had a Pro Bowl level season. He's kind of fell off in the end of the year, but still good enough to lead that offense to what it needs to be. The problem is that your defensive line is terrible. You can't stop the run at all. And when you're playing against the Niners, even though it is a divisional game and it can get screwy, that team is just going to handle you.
With the Niners are going to run down their throats. I
Yeah,
mean,
it's not going to be pretty.
yeah,
But
you are right. The defensive line isn't great,
that being
especially against the
said,
Niners. We both agree. It's over. Yeah.
Seattle is my number 12 because Baltimore is my number 13 for very similar reasons as the Dolphins being 14. You're most likely not going to have Lamar Jackson for this playoff game. I don't know whether that's because of injury completely or because he's making a statement to them about how valuable he is to the team and how they're going to lose without him immediately. I don't know. That's just speculation. But when it comes down to it, you're not going to have him either way. And you're not winning games. You're not winning a playoff game without Lamar. You're barely winning regular season games against mediocre teams without Lamar. I don't care if it's Tyler Huntley or Anthony Brown at QB. I don't think it makes a difference, especially when you're playing the Bengals, who I have towards the top of this list. It's just bad. Bad look for the Ravens.
That's valid. I have the Ravens at 12. And the Ravens to me, like without Lamar, I agree. I had them a little bit higher because their defense has actually been a top 10 defense this season. That's what's keeping them in games. That's what's winning them games. I mean, against teams like you saw last week with the Bengals put 27 up on the Ravens and beat them. And yeah, the Ravens are not going to win without Lamar Jackson against teams like the Bengals because their defense simply just can't hold the Bengals to 10 points to 16 points, like what they
Which is
need.
all that your offense can score, if
Pretty
that.
much, yeah, without Lamar Jackson, they have nothing. They have Mark Andrews,
Who's been
that
injured?
he has been injured. It's been a rough season for the Ravens offensively. With Lamar, I think that they could beat some of these better teams and higher scoring teams. But like we've seen them without Lamar, and like these games, like let's look at these past games. I
They're
mean,
awful.
against the Steelers, 16-13, they lost. Falcons, they win 17-9. Browns, they lose 13-3.
They haven't
These
scored
aren't.
more than 17 points since December, sorry, November 27th, which I believe was their last game with Lamar.
And it's just not a good look. I mean, if they're gonna win a playoff game without Lamar Jackson, it's gonna have to be a gritty defensive battle, and I can't see that happening.
It's
We
not. It's not that you can't see.
They're not holding the Bengals to 16 points.
No.
Yeah. No. They're just not.
So, moving on, because we seem to agree with that. Mm-hmm. At number 11, we've got one of our division winners, which is weird to say because we've only been through three spots so far, and there's six wildcard teams. But I have Tampa at 11. I don't think they're a very good team at all. The only reason they're in the playoffs is because the rest of their division also had losing records. This is an 8-9 team that snuck into the playoffs somehow. And it's just not good. I mean, you have your Brady magic, which, look, yeah, but no, not this year. Your coaching, I think, is what's holding you back the most. The two biggest issues with this team are coaching and offensive line. They can't run the ball, which was one of the biggest strengths of their team in the past couple years when they won the Super Bowl and made it far into the playoffs last year. And without that, you're going to be forced to pass the ball a zillion times a game, which is why we see Brady breaking completion and attempts records the last couple years.
Yeah.
And you could just tell by watching them that they don't have it. Their defense isn't as good as it used to be. And the play calling is just brutal. The only times that this offense succeeds is in two-minute drills, which I theorize is when Brady is allowed to take over the play calling. Byron Leftwich is not it as an offensive coordinator, and I don't think Todd Bowles is it as a head coach either. The team is just a mess.
Yeah, the team – I also have the Bucs at 11, and the team is not good. I mean, they have great players. They have a good roster. Obviously, they've been – a Super Bowl contender in the past with a very similar roster. But as you said, the coaching is bad. Defensively, they're playing pretty well, but not as well as they have in past years. Like in 2020, when they won the Super Bowl, their defense was probably a top three defense in the league. At least come playoff time, they turned into that. Right now, they're not a top three defense. They're probably top 10, but their offense is so stagnant, and so it moves like molasses. They're hardly getting anything on the ground. Brady is throwing the ball so much, but without much success. One of his worst seasons ever as a passer. And so it's just the defense just keeps getting out there, and then they're susceptible, you know, to big plays every once in a while. They get unlucky, and all of a sudden they're down by a lot. And then, you know, Tampa just doesn't really have a lot working for them right now. One thing that is big, I think, is that Mike Evans is starting to get going with Brady again. That's huge because if, you know, you could get Godwin, who's already, he was hurt in the beginning of the season. He's already starting to have a better season. And if you get Evans going again, then too, I think, you know, Brady could maybe get something going against Dallas. A lot of people are predicting an upset there. I don't know about that, but it is possible, especially if you get those two moving. And then also Ryan Jensen, their star center, is back or should be back come playoff time. So that's a big addition. Ryan Jensen is one of the best centers in the league, and having him back is huge. But just in general, as you said, the Bucs just aren't that great of a team. I don't think they're going to beat Dallas. And, you know, they have the GOAT at quarterback, but he's not playing like the GOAT. So I don't think they're going to win anything in the playoffs, and that's why I have them so low.
Yeah, no, maybe a game.
Maybe a game if they're lucky, but if they beat Dallas, then they're going to lose to the Eagles probably next week.
Yeah. Well, unless one of the other wildcard teams wins it.
Maybe, but
namely the next team on the list, which would be the six-seeded New York Giants. This is kind of the opposite of the Bucs. This is a really talent-dry team. I mean, not to say that they're talentless. Dimes has been playing very well. Saquon has had a great season. Dexter Lawrence is one of the best defensive linemen in the league at this point, mm-hmm. along with Xavier McKinney and plenty of other players who have been playing well. But the reason they're playing so well is because of Brian Daboll's coaching and the rest of the coaching staff, not to take credit away from them. But this is a team that should not have won as many games as they did. They've been grinding out these tough games with their run game led by Dimes and Saquon, or Saquon and Dimes, you know, whatever you prefer. They're getting these one possession games going in their way, but not to the level of the Vikings, who they play. And so both of these teams have kind of played similar, where they're relying on these close, gritty games. Well, close games. I don't know about gritty. The Vikings aren't exactly that kind of play style. The Vikings win shootouts. But both of these teams have been one-possession teams this entire year, so I think it's pretty much a toss-up on who wins the game. But I have more confidence in Minnesota as shown by their higher on my listing, and not as much in the Giants because, you know, they're lower. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think you are pretty spot on with the Giants. I also have them at 10. I'll just quickly say that I think the Giants are a very young team, kind of like Seattle. They have a lot of young talent, which is weird to say, but it's true. Their defense has a lot of young stars on it. I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau, we've seen him. He's played pretty well this season. You love Xavier McKinney, I know. Great safety. And then you just have a lot of young players. You know, you have some veterans, but Dable's a young coach. You know, everything's kind of coming together this season. And the Giants haven't been good forever. This is the first time they've been good since 2016. And even then, like, you know, they were first round exits in the playoffs. So this is a big moment for the Giants. I think that they will beat Minnesota in their game. I think that they're pretty close match teams. I don't think they're the better team, but I think they'll come out on top in that one. And I think, though, that they're just too young and too inexperienced in the playoffs to make a real run at it yet. Although, you know, if their defense was a little bit better, I think, you know, you could make a case that they could go on this little surprise Cinderella run. I just don't think it's quite there yet. And as you said, their offense, you know, they don't have a lot of talent. Their offense has had a lot of issues with scoring and converting, especially early on in the game. They've had a lot of late game comebacks where they're down by, you know, 10 points, 15 points, whatever. And Danny Dimes and Saquon kind of lead them back and win by, you know, one score game. But I don't think that, you know, their defense or offense are quite good enough to, you know, go down early and come back again against, you know, strong, talented teams in the playoffs. And so that's why I have them at 10, as low as they are right now. But I think next year and years to come, the Giants could be a real threat in the playoffs.
Watch out for the Giants next year.
Yeah.
Because once they get a number one receiver for Dimes, which in my prediction, if I had to tell you today, it's either going to be Devontae Adams or T. Higgins. It's going to be one of those two guys.
I don't think either are leaving the teams, honestly.
We'll see. Bengals can't.
That's just my opinion.
Bengals can't pay both of them.
Yeah, the Giants do need to get a number one receiver. Maybe it's Kenny Galladay. Who knows? Maybe, probably not. But I think he would. Maybe Kenny Galladay reemerges. Who knows?
No, but for real though, once the Giants get a number one receiver for Dimes, they're going to be a scary team, and I think it's going to happen this offseason.
Or they get a new quarterback and a number one receiver. Who knows? But I think they're keeping Dimes, and we both like the Giants. Just we don't think that this is their year to make a
team. We hate the Giants.
We both like how they look in the playoffs. We don't like their team, obviously. We're Eagles fans, but you know what I meant, Alex. Anyway, I'll go to my number nine. And my number nine is a team that's been hot recently, very hot. And they're a team that I want to have a little bit higher, but just I don't think that they're as good as they've been playing recently. And that is the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars recently have played pretty well defensively. They're not a great defensive team, but they've held a lot of teams, you know, late in the season to not a lot of points. The last time that they really let a team loose was the Dallas Cowboys. And we saw even then, you know, they were forcing turnovers. They won the game on a pick six. And basically, their defense has been showing up recently. And that's what you need to get hot in the playoffs. You need a defense that's kind of on a roll, that's hot, that can make plays when you need them to. And so I like that about Jacksonville. I'm not saying they have a great defense, but their defense is passable to me right now, especially coming into playoffs on a hot streak, passable. And offensively, we're seeing Trevor Lawrence kind of come into his own right now. He's throwing multiple touchdown games to, you know, Evan Ingram, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones. He's really making it work with the offense. Travis Etienne is young, but he's pretty good. They're running decent. And so you look at it, they're a pretty balanced team right now. They're not great either offense or defense, but they're good enough that, you know, they sneaked into the playoffs after having a rough start. And as I said, I mean, I think they have a lot of good players on their team. Do I think that they could beat the Chargers in the wild card? I definitely think they can. And I think it might be one of the most exciting games that we'll see in the playoffs. We're seeing two pretty evenly matched teams. I have the Chargers a couple spots higher. I guess you'll see in a minute. But, you know, with their defense, with Josh Allen, Devin Lloyd, a lot of young players making plays, you know, Tyson Campbell had that big pick in last week's game awesome. Against the Titans.
He's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they just have a lot of guys who are playing well. Trayvon Walker, obviously the first overall pick, has had kind of a disappointing year, but he is still coming into his own. I think he'll be good in a couple years. And I think that the Jaguars are a dangerous team in the playoffs, because if they beat the Chargers, which I think it's like almost a coin flip. I have the Chargers, but it's almost a coin flip. Then I think Jacksonville could definitely pose a threat to Kansas City or someone else that they play. And just like that, you know, they may squeak and make it into the AFC Championship game. So this is the first team on my list that I think has a real shot to make some noise in the playoffs. I don't have them doing it, but I can definitely see a scenario where Trevor Lawrence and the defense stay hot and get past, you know, a round or two in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm pretty much going along with everything you said. We both have this matchup in these two spots, I believe, which tells you what it is. It's a 4 versus 5 seed. It should be the closest game in the wild card round, and we both believe it will be. The only difference is that I have the Chargers at 9, whereas I have the Jaguars at 8. I had this ranking anyway. I predicted the Jaguars to win when we did this last week, but it's made even more obvious to me after the Chargers' brilliant coach, Brandon Staley, played all of his starters in a meaningless Week 18 game for the entire four quarters. And due to that idiotic decision, you lost your number one wide receiver in Mike Williams and your number one defensive player in edge rusher Joey Bosa. And without those two, I don't know if either of them are going to play. It didn't look like Mike Williams is going to play. Dude could not walk by himself. As for Bosa, I don't really know, but he won't be 100% if he does play. And because of that, I already thought you were going to lose, and you lost some of your best players. You're going to lose by even more now. Now, anything can happen with Justin Herbert, because we've seen him have these fourth quarter heroics in the past, but it's made a lot harder for him without having Mike Williams, who he can just throw up a 50-50 ball to and he'll come down with it. And like you said, Jacksonville has been super hot recently, and I don't think a lot of teams want to play them. Doug Peterson has the playoff pedigree, and I think that we could see anything happen with the Jaguars. I would not be completely shocked to see them beat Kansas City in the next round. That is not me saying I'm predicting them to beat Kansas City. Not at all, because that would make me a moron. But I would not be shocked to see it.
I also wouldn't be shocked, but I don't think it's going to happen. You never know, though. Yeah, I have the Chargers a spot higher than you do. We flip-flopped. Yeah, I have the Chargers over Jacksonville, and I have them beating Jacksonville. But what you said is true. Losing Joey Bosa and Mike Williams is huge for the Chargers. You're basically losing two of some of your biggest players on both sides of the ball. And you don't need Mike Williams. You have Keenan Allen. You have other guys who can make plays. Jalen Guyton is a perfectly capable guy to throw in if you need him.
Jalen Guyton blew his knee out in the first couple weeks of the season.
Jalen Guyton is out. I didn't even know that. You have DeAndre Carter. You have other receivers who you can play. You know, Joshua Palmer, I don't know if he's hurt or not, but Joshua Palmer was great filling in, you know, midseason. You have guys, you have a lot of depth at the wide receiver position is basically what I'm trying to say. And you could kind of use Eckler as a receiver out of the backfield, check down guy. Eckler catches a lot of passes each game. I think the Chargers, as long as they have Justin Herbert, are a threat to beat anyone in the playoffs. And
got a chance,
just speaking to how good Justin Herbert is, I know the Chargers have a lot of issues, particularly their run defense. Their run defense is horrible. They're one of the worst run defenses in the league still, even though they tried to address it this season. They're letting up 5.4 yards per carry generally. And that's ridiculous. I mean, defenses don't do that. You can't do that as a defense. So it is a little scary to see what Travis Etienne and the Jags might be able to do on the ground against them. But I still like the chances of Justin Herbert in the offense. I think they'll squeak out, just like they have been kind of towards the end of the season, a narrow victory over the Jaguars. And I think the Chargers are a somewhat dangerous team. Maybe not as dangerous as Jacksonville, but like they match up decent against Kansas City. It's always a close game against Kansas City. I think potentially if Justin Herbert and the offense could start getting things going, the Chargers could be a surprise team, but I'm not overly confident in them. That's why I have them at 8 and not like 5 or 6.
Yeah, I think that's a fair take. We both kind of feel the same way about both of these teams. Not loving them, but we do like them and would not be surprised to see them pull off a run.
Yeah.
But anyway, Moving on to number seven and six, we both have the same teams. But seven first, we've got the Vikings, which is weird to say because they have a better record than multiple teams ahead of them on this list. But I don't know what there is to say about the Vikings that hasn't been said a bajillion times already by everyone. The Vikings, I feel like, have been getting insanely lucky this season. They're, what is it, 11-0 in one possession games or something ridiculous like that?
Something like that.
And which there is something to be said. That's a skill. You can close out games well. But these games don't need to be closed out besides of the actions of their own team. The Vikings are letting these teams come back. They'll go up big and then completely blow it and then win the game anyway, barely off some long field goal, just like happened against the Giants a couple weeks ago, which is, funny enough, the matchup that they have this week. And like we said about the Giants earlier, they also thrive off the one-possession games. Their one-possession games are different. The Vikings have a really explosive offense and a really horrible defense. Definitely the worst in the playoffs. Or Seattle, one of the two. And so because of that matchup, I think that the Vikings should be favored over the Giants. But I don't see the Vikings as a true contender. I think that they'll lose in the divisional round against San Francisco because San Francisco is a much more complete team. I think all of these next six teams are much more complete than the Vikings. I like the Vikings more than I do any of the other ones that were below them because the Vikings have this potential to go on a major run if they keep playing the way they have all season, getting these lucky, you know, one possession games. But I also don't see them as a true contender.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with you there. I think that they're the worst defense in the playoffs right now. They're letting up the second most amount of yards per game out of all defenses in the league. And that's kind of, you know, they score a lot. So you could make the case that that's the reason why other teams are, you know, a lot putting up a lot of yards against them because they have to. But still, you know, you're letting up 388 yards per game to the opposing team. That's a lot.
Insanity.
That is a lot of yards per game. And then when we look at their last month, December, the month of December, they barely beat the Jets in a very close game. The Jets aren't that good. I believe Mike White played that game.
He did.
He did. And, you know, close game there. Jets are not a playoff team. Very close game. Then you go next week and lose by 11 to the Lions, who also aren't a playoff team. Next week, you barely beat the Colts, and you go down 33-0. If you go down 33-0 in the playoffs, you're losing. I don't care. You're not winning. And the Vikings just, I don't know. We talked about this. They can finish games. Kevin O'Connell has been a great hire so far. Game management, you know, late game scenarios. The Vikings have been perfect with those. But in the playoffs, you can't count on, you know, finishing these perfect late game scenarios because it's just not going to happen. You're not going to get this lucky. Going into the next game, Giants, you know, they squeak by with that field goal, just like we talked about. And then next week they get blown out by the Packers. And so just looking at their recent game log, they've definitely kind of fizzled out towards the late season. You know, they haven't been as good as they were early on. And as we said, their defense stinks. You know, they have a couple of great players. Adarius Smith is great, but their defense is letting up so much yardage and letting up a lot of scoring. And as good of an arsenal of weapons that they have on offense, you know, they have Cook, Osborne. It's funny, I mentioned Osborne.
How do you name Osborne before Jefferson or Thielen?
They have Cook, they have Jefferson, they have Thielen, they have Hockenson, they have Osborne. Kirk Cousins is a decent quarterback.
Kirk Cousins has been very good this year.
He has. He has been one of the better quarterbacks. He's been a top 10 quarterback this season.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, is that enough to offset an awful defense? And when your offense is inconsistent, as the Vikings offense is, I just don't think that they're a true contender. As I've said, I think they're losing to the Giants the first week. If not, then they're losing in the next week in the divisional round to the Niners or some other team. And so, you know, we agree there. I have them at seven, and I think that they're much worse than the six teams in front of them, at least in terms of stability and how
I think,
you know,
that's where the gap is.
Yes.
But yeah, like you said, is that enough to offset the defense? I think it is for one game.
When maybe. I don't even think
you're still playing the wild card teams.
Maybe it's enough for one game, but I'm predicting an upset. I think that the Giants will do enough. And moving on, I'll go to my number six. We have the same number six. Just, I have the Dallas Cowboys, as much as it pains me to say, because obviously it's Dallas, but like Dallas has been a pretty good team this year, as much as I hate to say it. One thing, the reason why they're at six, I would say, is because of stability. I talk about stability a lot, but the Cowboys are not a super stable team. You saw it last week against the Washington Commanders. They lost 23-6, and they were playing their starters. Dak Prescott had an awful game.
But they were kind of mailing it in, though. I mean, they saw early on that the Eagles were going to win, so they didn't have anything to play for. But still.
Dak still played terrible. Yeah, you know,
Dak has had a terrible year.
You cannot try and just still. I mean, Dak didn't look great. The week before that against the Titans, they didn't look fantastic. They didn't look like one of the best teams in the league. They won, but, you know, it was mainly in the second half. The first half, they struggled. And as we've talked about in our last segment, they let the Gardner Minshew Eagles put up 34 against them. The Eagles should have won that game. I mean, the Cowboys defense.
Let me make something clear.
Yeah.
They allowed those 34 points by the Minshew-led Eagles in a game where those same Eagles had four turnovers.
Yeah.
Just to establish that.
It's pretty crazy to me that's what happened. But it is what happened. Their defense, as good as it is on paper, they have great players. Trayvon Diggs, obviously. Micah Parsons, obviously. You know, that Dan Quinn is a good coordinator. But when it comes down to it, their defense has been a little underwhelming this season. They have been probably an outside top 10 defense. They've probably been around 15, 13, that type of range. And looking in on the playoffs, they're like a middle of the pack defense in terms of play right now. So really, when it comes down to the Cowboys, they're probably one of the most balanced teams in the playoffs. They have a good offense and a good defense, but not a great offense and a great defense right now to me. Dak, 15 picks. I've talked about it before. He's having probably his worst season of his career. And really what it comes down to, I think they lost Amari Cooper, and Tony Pollard and Zeke on the run game are really what keeps this offense alive. I know Dak to CeeDee Lamb is a great connection, and they need that to get going in order to do well offensively. But Tony Pollard and Zeke are so hard to cover because you got power, you got speed. Defenses don't know what to do. They've been great on the ground with those two. And, you know, because of the powerful running game, the pretty good offense, and like I said, the defense, which is good on paper but inconsistent at times, I think Dallas is still dangerous, but I think they're also a potential, you know, team to lose in the wild card round. I think that they could lose to Tampa Bay if they do what they've done in past years, which is, you know, wait too long to start getting hot in the game. If they wait till the second half, like they did in that Titans game 2 weeks ago, to start, you know, really moving the ball and scoring them, I think they could easily lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But that being said, I still think that they're going to win. And I still think that they're one of the best teams in the NFC playoffs, despite being the fifth seed. So, yeah, that's why
when I said that the gap was between the Vikings and the Cowboys, I take that back, because I think the real gap is there's a smaller gap between Minnesota and Dallas. And then there's also an equally sized, if not a little bigger, gap between Dallas and the top five. I think the top five is where the real contenders are. Because Dallas was an easy choice at six, but
yes,
no lower, no higher. I think they're their own little thing there. Dak has been horrible.
There's not horrible. No way around that. He's been bad. He's been pretty bad.
Dak has been horrible. I think that their offense could catch fire if we see the Dak of old, but the Dak of old has not shown up this year at all. Their defense has fallen off since the first 10, 11, 12 weeks, something like that. You know, the first three quarters ish of the season, and now it's just not that great. You let up 40 points to the Jaguars and lost to them. Granted, that last pick six was not Dak's fault at all. It was, I want to say, Gallup that dropped it. But I just don't think that they're on the level of the top five. I think that if CeeDee Lamb was in any other situation, save for maybe Atlanta, CeeDee Lamb is one of the top 5 to 7-ish receivers in the whole NFL. I think he is woefully misused in Dallas, and we as Eagles fans should be fortunate for that.
That's an interesting take, but I kind of like it. And one thing before we go on to another team, like if Dallas would play like they did against Minnesota, you know, around that Thanksgiving game,
yeah,
then you could say that they're contenders. But That's only like one example of the Cowboys doing that this season. You know, they did it against the Bears too, where they scored 49. But like those are two games. Dallas has been so inconsistent that it's hard to really put them up there with these other teams that have been more consistent. And they, like what I just showed you, they could be super dominant in a couple games. You know, they beat the Minnesota Vikings, who are the 3 seed right now, by 37 points. That's ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, they almost lose to the Titans. You know, they lose to the Commanders. They just have a rough time being consistent. That's why we ultimately have them outside of our top five.
Yep. Now, moving on to that top five. My number five team is one that I don't think is in your 2 through 5. In fact, I think it might be your 1, not to spoil. But it's going to be the Buffalo Bills. I think that of the last 5 teams, this is the team that has played the most inconsistently and shoddily, I guess, if that's a word. I think that the other teams have been a little bit more flawless throughout the season. And not to say that Buffalo can't win. Buffalo has been awesome the last few weeks. I just think that they've shown a lot more weakness throughout the season than the Eagles, Niners, Chiefs, or Bengals have. And that's why they have to be 5. Josh Allen will beat anyone in the playoffs. Their defense is improved from years past, and their run game is very improved from years past. Your secondary is kind of iffy, especially following the loss of DeMar Hamlin, who is fine now, but not going to play again this season, I would assume. Next year, I think that he would, but that's besides the point. That has nothing to do with the playoffs this year. You don't have him, and your secondary is very sketchy. And
he's already injured. There's, you know, also injuries. Pretty sure it's Micah Hyde.
Yeah, Trey White just came back a week or two ago, and he's not going to be 100% really. He's still coming back. He's going to have some rust. And in a conference where your two main competitors are the team with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and then the other one is Joe Burrow throwing to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, a weak secondary can bury you. You have the offense to keep up with them sometimes. Sometimes you have that. Not as much as I think you should. And because of that, I think that they have to be 5 because the other 4 teams have been playing more consistently at that same level. So they just belong higher on the list.
Yeah, I completely disagree with you. But since they are not right in the close vicinity on my list, I'm going to talk about them a lot later. But I just want to say I disagree with that take very strongly. I think much higher on the Bills than you do. That being said, I'm just going to get to my number 5, which is the Cincinnati.
Wait. Sorry. The one thing I have to say about the Bills that could lead me to being wrong is this team playing with fire to win it for DeMar Hamlin. I think that could overcome everything I just said, and they could be at the top of their game for the rest of the season and win the Super Bowl. Very possible.
It is true. I mean, a lot of people are saying destiny is on their side right now, which is everything going on that they, you know, they're destined to win because of the way their seasons went. The DeMar Hamlin situation, obviously. Great to see that he's okay and that everything, you know, resolved itself. That was a scary situation. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people love the Bills, and I do as a team. I'll get to them later, as I said.
Any one of these 5 teams can win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say, actually, that, you know, with my top 5, I think all 5 of these teams are easily, I could see, in the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, making it, whatever. I think that all the teams outside probably don't have a shot. I mean, I see a couple. We've talked about a couple that we think could get hot, but really, these 5 are the teams that, you know, have a real shot. And I think that I would put money that one of these 5 is winning it. And probably that there's 2 teams out of this 5 that are playing in it against each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah. My 5, as much as I don't want to put them here because I like them, I think that, you know, they obviously made it last season. The Cincinnati Bengals are my number 5 team. And when it comes down to the reason why I have them at 5 is because I think that they are the most shaky team in terms of at least recent play out of the 5 teams that are, you know, I still have on my list. I know that some of the other ones have had issues recently, but the Bengals at times look like they're not a playoff team. And that's not because that, you know, they're not a playoff team. They have a great offense. They have a pretty good defense, as I've talked about in the past. But like the Patriots game around, it was Christmas Eve, you know, they barely won that game. against the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers looked like they were going to beat them on December 18th. And through the first, you know, two quarters, the Bengals didn't look that great. So there's just times when the Bengals are not at the top of their game. And that goes for every team. But I think that the other teams on my list are more resilient. They're, I think, stronger in terms of just overall play. And the Bengals, to me, are a team that we've talked about. Like, teams who lose the Super Bowl have a very hard time getting back usually. I love Joe Burrow. I love the defense, but I don't know if it's enough to, you know, propel them back into the Super Bowl. I think they're probably one of the weaker teams left that I haven't talked about. And, you know, I think, isn't it true? T. Higgins is hurt. I bet that he'll probably...
I think he's okay.
Is he okay now?
Yeah, he was.
He's currently questionable. So he returned to practice, and he definitely will play, but he's probably not 100% after last week and everything. Their offense should be fine, though, with Ja'Marr Chase, obviously Joe Mixon. And, you know, I've talked about their defense a lot. I'm going to say it again. This defense is great. Probably the reason why they're in the top five for me. Their offense is one of the better offenses in the league and at times could be a top five offense. But their defense just has a lot of playmakers. Trey Hendrickson has been such a great addition to this team, especially when he's been healthy. You know, their secondary stepped up a lot last season. And I like Dax Hill, their rookie safety, a lot. I like a lot of their other players. I think they have pretty good depth. So this is a team that if they get hot and stay hot, I could see winning the Super Bowl. And I almost predicted them making it and winning it last episode. But at the same time, I just, like, if I match this team up with any of the other four teams in front of them, most of the time, I think I'm picking this team to lose. And so that's when it comes down to it. I think that they're the fifth best team, and I think that they're a little bit weaker than these other teams because of that. But, you know, you're going to talk about the Bengals soon, I think, and I'm sure that you're going to have a little bit of a differing opinion on them than I do. So,
honestly, we're not too far off on them. I have them at four. Very similar reasons to what you said, except I think that I'm kind of just a little bit higher on them overall as a team, because you said that you would match them up against any of those teams. I'm not picking them to lose every time. They have
they're not every time, but
3-0 against Kansas City the last couple years.
That is true.
It looked to me like they were on track to beat Buffalo when they started that game, although granted it's too early. They played like
I thought that they were going to beat Buffalo.
They looked like they came out on fire. And I don't know. It's just tough to pick against them. I mean, obviously I did because there's three other teams above them. But that offense knows how to win the big games. That defense is so underrated. You talked about how great they are. I agree with you. And because of all that, they're going to be my second best AFC team, which I had very big issues doing. But what it comes down to is that in the AFC, you got to just roll with the playoff experience that Andy Reid and Mahomes have. So that's got to be my AFC rankings. Honestly, I'll just go right into it because I have Kansas City number three, which means I guess I have the NFC winning the Super Bowl. But Kansas City, I'm a little bit lower on them than both of the other AFC teams, to be honest. I kind of just played it safe with my rankings because of that playoff experience I just talked about. But I don't know. The weapons scare me. All you have is Travis Kelce, really. Juju has actually come on pretty strong at the end of the season. He's had a solid year. He's building chemistry with Mahomes week by week. Jerick McKinnon came out of nowhere the last month of the season and has had an insane month catching and running the ball a little bit. And because of that pedigree that they have, they made the Super Bowl back-to-back years, won it the first time. I think that you just have to go with them as the safe bet in the AFC because we've seen both of these other teams, the Bills and the Bengals, lose that big game to the Chiefs, the Bills. The Bengals lost to the Rams, but I don't know. Pedigree takes over in close moments like this.
Yeah, so my number four is the Kansas City Chiefs. And one thing I want to say to kind of clarify my take from the last when I was talking about the Bengals, I wouldn't necessarily say that, you know, a majority of the time, like, I would pick the Bengals to lose. I mean, I don't know if that's the best way to say it. But what I want to say more is that the Chiefs, the Bills, all these other teams that I have higher than the Bengals on my list, they generally aren't losing or aren't having a hard time against, you know, lesser opponents. The Bengals, to me, a lot of times they do have a hard time against lesser opponents, but the Bengals are interesting because they also have, it seems like sometimes they have an easier time against hard opponents than they do against easier opponents, if that makes any sense. And so it's just kind of like a consistency issue that I think that the Bengals kind of can play down to their opponents, whereas some other teams don't necessarily do that quite as much, at least this season. And that's kind of what I was trying to say with my take again with the Bengals. But, you know, that's besides the point. Let's talk about the Chiefs now. I have them at 4. And surprisingly enough, at 4, I have them winning the Super Bowl. But that speaks more, I think, to Patrick Mahomes and my faith in him as the best quarterback in the league and in the playoffs right now, that I think that Mahomes is going to find a way to get it done and find a way to get the Chiefs to win this Super Bowl, even despite not being a top three team in the playoffs right now. I think the Chiefs will still win the Super Bowl. And one of the reasons why I have them winning the Super Bowl is because I think that they could overcome a lot of adversity. We saw them lose Tyreek Hill. We've seen them, you know, they've never had a fantastic defense, and defense on paper doesn't look fantastic, but this season, they have 55 sacks, which I believe, let me check. Yes, it's the second in the league this season. They've been, you know, good at getting pressure to the quarterback. They've been bad at letting up pass and rush yards. You know, they haven't been horrible, but they haven't been great. But their defense has been pretty resilient this year. Some changes with their roster, but a lot of guys have stepped up. Chris Jones is obviously one of the best defenders in the league. I'm pretty sure he did make All Pro. Which is great for him. But, you know, I love the rookie George Karlaftis. He's had a great year. A lot of people haven't talked about him. Frank Clark might be hurt. He got hurt last week, but he's questionable. And I think that if he's healthy, they're obviously going to want to play him. He's one of the veterans on this defense. And then, you know, their secondary has some decent players. Justin Reed has been one that I just want to highlight, one of the best players on their team this season. So I think that, you know, besides Mahomes, that they have a decent team around Mahomes, especially defensively, better than a lot of people give them credit for. And I have them as the second best team in the AFC. I think that that will propel them, along with how good Mahomes is, into that Super Bowl spot. And then I think experience with Mahomes is just going to be the reason why they win, even if they're not as strong of a team as maybe the other three that I have in front of them. So, yeah.
Definitely all valid takes. You having them as fourth best yet winning the Super Bowl is kind of funny to me, which obviously the best team doesn't win the Super Bowl every year. That's the whole point of doing this exercise.
Yep.
But it's just fun.
You get what I'm saying, though.
No, I totally get it.
Yeah, like I think the three teams are better just, yeah, Mahomes.
But they won't be able to execute.
Yep.
So with my number two spot now, I have the two NFC teams. And this may be a little bit of a homerish take, but I have reasons behind it. My number two spot goes to the Niners. Now, I'll start with the strengths, because the Niners have been one of the best teams in the whole NFL and truly are the only team in the NFC that scares me for the Eagles as a fan of the Eagles. The Niners, I'll start with their defense because that's their real strong suit. They have an insane defense, the best in the NFL by far. Led by players like your defensive player of the year, Nick Bosa. You also have Fred Warner. You also have Eric Armstead. Talanoa Hufanga has been playing awesome.
Oh, he's awesome. So good.
He should be known for more than looking like Troy Polamalu.
Oh, he's known for his people play. People are acknowledging how good of a season he's having right now. And it's good because he's been great.
And then their offense has also been amazing. Even though they've lost their quarterback twice, they're still putting up 30 points a game with relative ease because of your skill positions. You have Christian McCaffrey at running back with Eli Mitchell backing him up, who is not bad. Eli Mitchell is probably in the top half of running backs if he was a starter. Maybe that's being a little aggressive with that ranking, but he's up there. He's good, and he's your backup. You have Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk at receiver. Brandon Ayuk, who's had an amazing end to the season with Deebo's recent injury. Who's back? Deebo is back, I would like to establish. George Kittle is one of the top three, maybe five, if you're being safe, tight ends in the whole league. Their offensive line, led by Trent Williams, is great. The only question mark I have, the only reason this team is not number one over the Eagles, because I think the Eagles have just as complete of a roster, but I'm saying that Brock Purdy at quarterback is more of a question mark than Jalen Hurts. they have the same amount of experience in the playoffs. Well, no, because Hurts did play a playoff game, but like, does that really count? Because it was ugly. And Hurts to me is a completely different player than he was last season. But I'm going with draft pedigree and the way that they've played this season. Hurts would have won MVP, in my opinion, if he didn't miss the last couple games. And Brock Purdy, I mean, I'm waiting for him to turn into the pumpkin, which honestly, I'm not sure if it's going to happen. I don't know that it will happen. He's been playing awesome in the system that he's been given. And I have nothing bad to say about Brock Purdy's play. Can he keep it up in the big pressure moments in the Super Bowl, in the NFC Championship, divisional, whatever? Can he do that? Maybe, maybe not. I'm going to hedge my bet and say that he will not over the Eagles, who would be my number one team.
Don't talk about them yet. I still got to talk about mine. At three, I have the 49ers, just as you talked about. I'm not going to talk about their players. You did a great job at, you know, describing the defensive players and what's been going on this season. They have a lot going well for them. And I've been talking a lot about stability, you know, over the last two episodes. If a team's stable, if they're not, if they're consistent, if they're not, that's big for me. The Niners are the most consistent team in the league. That's just outright, I'm saying it. They're the most consistent team in the league. Over the past like 5-6 weeks, scored 38 points, 37 points, 37 points, 21, 35, 33, 13, 38. 13's an outlier. That was a bad game, but still. That's with, you know, Brock Purdy at quarterback, your third string quarterback going into the season, and you're putting up those types of numbers, and you're winning the games too. I mean, that's pretty impressive. You know, no other team is really doing that right now. The Eagles were in the beginning of the season. As of late, I would say the Niners late season have been the best team in the league. And so why are they not number one for me? Just as you said, Brock Purdy, it's bigger than people are letting it out to be. As much as I like Brock Purdy, you know, we saw with Jimmy Garoppolo was an issue in that 2019 playoff run. And even in these other playoff runs that San Francisco's had, just because he's good enough to get them there doesn't mean that he's good enough to execute them to win it. And I think that, you know, as well as the defense is playing as good as it's playing, as well as they match up against a lot of teams, I think they're going to have trouble executing and winning against some of these teams. And I just don't like them to win the Super Bowl. Like, I could see a scenario where they make it. I could see many scenarios where they make it. I think that, you know, it's a 50-50 coin flip against the Eagles for them to make it. But I don't like them winning it, even if they do make it. I just think it's very improbable that a first-year quarterback with as much limitations as Brock Purdy is going to find a way to get it done against guys like Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, who can make magic happen out of nowhere. As weird and as, you know, I don't like saying things like that, you know, that it's just a quarterback matchup that's putting the San Francisco Niners down for me. But it's true that that's the reason why they're at three and not at one or two. And I think that that's the limitation. As much as I like Brock Purdy and as good as he's been playing, it's just, it's the truth. So I have them at three. At two, I have the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'll talk about them first. I would have them at one if they had kept playing the way that they've been playing for the first half of the season. They have been the best team in the league overall over the whole, you know, regular season. They've been great. And really the reason why they're not number one for me is because the last 4 to 5 weeks, they've just been extremely shaky all around. And it's not that they've been bad. Just the defense, which has been so great. It's been so dominant. 70 sacks, 15 more than the second best team. You know, the defense has, I think we have the most amount of Pro Bowlers out of any team.
Probably.
Yeah, I think we have 9, I'm pretty sure, which I think might be the most. But just defensively, Hassan Reddick has stepped up. Our secondaries looked great. Darius Slay voted to the All-Pro team first time or second time of his career. And you know, the defense has looked great over the full season, but the last 5 games, we've seen them let Dallas get 41 points, 40 points.
Yeah.
They let New Orleans run all over them. The Giants game should not have been that close. You know, we let them come back. We let Davis Webb come back and put 16 and get within one score of us. So we barely clinched that bye in first round bye. And so when it comes down to it, our defense just doesn't look as great as it's been all season. It doesn't look like a top five defense going into the playoffs. It has been, but the last 5 weeks it hasn't been. And offensively, Jalen Hurts has been hurt. That's probably the biggest thing. That's the biggest reason why I'm scared and hesitant to put them at number one. With a healthy Hurts, which I think we'll probably end up getting in the playoffs, you know, you could expect the Eagles to revert back to that offensive dominance. But at the same time, there's still just that question mark there. And as much as I think he'll be fine in the playoffs, you know, I'm also kind of worried that how young this Eagles team is, how inexperienced they are together. You know, they're still gelling together and figuring things out. I think if we're heavily schemed against and a team trains to beat us, I think that we could easily be susceptible to, like, you know, a loss in the playoffs. And so as much as I want to put us at one, and, you know, I'm a huge Eagles fan, I just think that there's some question marks here and all around that are stopping me from making us the number one team going and in the playoffs right now. But I want to put them at one, and I think that we'll probably fare better than some people are saying we will. Some think we're going to get trounced in the second round of the playoffs. I don't think so.
That's ridiculous.
I think NFC championship game at the very least. And even then, we're not going to go down without a fight. The Eagles are a great team this year and should be remembered as that. So I have them at number two.
And I've got some rebuttals for you.
Yeah, you have them at number one. I want to hear what you have to say to all this.
So you're talking about the defense that led up 40 points to that Dallas team.
Mm-hmm.
I bring you back to the offense, even though it doesn't make sense. How did the offense give up 40 points? They didn't, obviously, but you had Gardner Minshew playing that game. He threw two interceptions, one of which may not have been on him. So we'll pencil that up to on the receiver, Watkins. Mm-hmm. They also fumbled twice. That's four turnovers in the game, and you lost by 6 points. That's not your defense. That's your offense giving the ball to the other team in good field position. New Orleans, of course they're going to run all over us. Of course the defense is going to be tired when you can't get a first down. They went three and out for the first, like, five drives of that game led by Minshew because Minshew stinks. The Giants.
Minshew does stink, but the play calling also stinks. The play calling was awful in that game.
Because your offense is completely different, because your quarterback is completely different.
Oh, I know, but I'm
Minshew
just saying.
Minshew can't throw the ball 15 yards down the field.
Yes, he can. He's not
okay, sorry. 25.
Maybe 30.
We'll give him 30. And then we'll go back to the Giants game where you said the offense was kind of mediocre. And I agree it was. But that's because we knew that the Giants were playing their backups. We knew we didn't have to do anything crazy to win. Hurts was just coming back from injury. They played it safe. Hurts did no running that game. Barely any running the entire game. In fact, he only had 13 yards on the ground, 8 of which came on one carry. And they just didn't do anything exotic. They saved all their offense for the playoffs. They didn't call many RPOs at all. No deep shots, really. They just – it was a really conservative game plan. He had 6.5 yards per attempt on that game. And it just wasn't really a good estimate of the Eagles' abilities. Now, there are some red flags with the Eagles' defense. I'm not going to say that they're a flawless team, even though I believe that they're the number one. The defensive play calling has been very, very iffy sometimes. We saw them get carved up against Dallas. I'm not, like, I just contradicted myself a little bit saying that the defense was bad, but the defense was not good against Dallas. That's not a secret. It just wasn't all on the defense. There are issues. We don't know how healthy Hurts is. Like you said, I believe that he'll be healthy come playoffs, come their first game. But again, there's no way of knowing. I just think that they're the safest bet right now. Maybe inexperience takes over and they completely choke, but I don't think they will. So they're my number one team.
Yeah, I want to put them one, but it's just so tough when they've gone 2-2 in their last four games. And the two games that they won in their last four have been close one-score games against bad teams. Or not bad teams, but Giants backups. Yeah, bad teams, I guess. So it just comes down to that, injuries, why I don't have them at number one, and just a little bit of uncertainty. But I do agree with what you're saying a lot of times, and I think that putting them at one is not bad at all. I mean, I see why they could be the number one team. They've probably been the number one team of the regular season. But my number one team is the Buffalo Bills. And going into the season, MVP favorite Josh Allen, number one team by every analyst was the Bills going into the season. And I was against that because I didn't think that they were the number one team. I didn't think that they'd finish as the number one team in the regular season. And I was correct by that. But going into the playoffs, when I'm thinking of the strongest team, the most balanced team, it's the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, they're kind of like, to me, they have Josh Allen, obviously, which the Niners don't have. You know, the Bengals have Joe Burrow. But Josh Allen is, we saw in the playoffs, at least last season, he probably played the best football I've ever seen a quarterback play, at least in those two games. Like, it was literally near flawless football that he was playing. Yeah. You have pretty good pieces around him to make a pretty good offense. And then defensively, you're even better. Now, one reason why I think it might be tough to justify the Bills being one is because of all the injuries that they've had. Secondary is a little shaky, and that's something I just want to address. Their secondary, you know, as we talked about DeMar Hamlin, you know, that whole thing was horrible. It's awful to see that happen in any scenario, but especially just a young player and a good guy like DeMar Hamlin. You have Micah Hyde, who's been injured and is just coming back. You know, you don't know how good he'll be. You just have injuries all around. Jordan Poyer is a little hurt. Who knows how good he'll be? Sorry, got to cough for a second. But their defense just overall, Von Miller, obviously playoff experience, great player. Defense looks great. And their offense, like I said, with Josh Allen, just everything overall, I have them as my number one team. I don't think that they're going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think that they're going to be that team this season. But looking offense, defense, balance, I like them over a lot of teams. I think they're going to make some noise in the playoffs. Yeah.
I mean, it's tough to argue with that reasoning. I just think that they've struggled a little bit with those weaker teams, which you said they didn't earlier, but I disagree. They lost to the Jets earlier. They barely beat the Browns. They barely beat the Lions. I just think that there's too many cracks in that team.
I don't know. I think that they've been very good at finishing games this season. The only games they've really lost have been very close games. They lost to Miami. And they lost to Minnesota, which was, you know, rough. And, yeah, the Jets game. But still, I mean, besides the Jets game, the Minnesota one was just kind of unlucky. Sure. And the Miami one was when Miami was really hot at the beginning of the season. I just think that overall that they're the strongest team. Like I said, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. Any one of those five teams, I think, can win it. And I think that one of those five teams will win it, and the other team will be the matchup. I just don't think that the Bills are it. I think they're five. Mm-hmm. But anyway. So, you know, we went over it. That was going to be our playoff team ranking. We both kind of agree that one of those five teams will win it because those are the five best teams. Mm-hmm. I think that we will see some new faces here next year. I think the Jags will be one of them. I think the Giants could be one of them if they get that receiver. Dallas, certainly, if they get their old Dak Prescott back. But also, I think that all of these five teams will be back in it next year too. I think that we're going to see even more parity in the league next year. But when it comes down to it this year, it's going to be one of those five. So,
yeah, Bengals, Chiefs, Niners, Eagles, Bills, one of them.
I think that goes without say. And I think that we're in for some very exciting games, even just in the wild card round, like we said with Jacksonville Chargers. I think that's going to be a very exciting game. And then the real games get to be when you get to the divisional round. I think that when there's so many teams that could be in the mix for the title this year, that the divisional is going to be crazy. And then also the championship and obviously the Super Bowl. But the divisional is when stuff's going to get real. So I think we're in for a treat this season.
We definitely are. A lot could happen, and who knows. But thank you so much for listening. I hope that our insight on a lot of these teams helped you kind of frame what you think is going to happen in the playoffs. And yeah, I mean, a lot can happen, you know. Football is the most unpredictable sport in terms of playoffs, in terms of just teams could get hot. One game is all you need to get eliminated in the playoffs. One bad quarter could put you down and you might not be able to get back up. And you just never know. We saw that kind of last year. There was a lot of craziness last season in the playoffs. So I'm very excited. So many good teams. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed. See you next time. Bye-bye.